Sometimes a simple conversation can turn into something special. Hi, I'm Rick Bretsnyder of Book Judgment, a website where we judge a book by its cover, paper, binding, typeset, and all the cool stuff that makes books art. Today I get to introduce you to Jim Gerlach, who is bringing new editions of classically produced Edgar Rice Burroughs novels to life. And make no mistake, they are art. It was a fitting subject for Book Judgment's first podcast, even though it didn't start off that way. We're about to start, and I invite you to listen in. Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I sure can.
Good, good. I just, I'm incredibly lazy, and I'm recording this. I called you over Skype. I'm recording the audio just so I can have go back and look and do my notes, but without having to decipher my horrible handwriting.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, that's a good idea. Actually,
cool.
Yeah, if you don't mind, we're going to be right here, and I'm going to be in a bookstore, so I'll be right.
Oh, that's true.
You hear a few voices. That's where I'm at. Oh,
I love ambient sound.
We're in downtown Durango, so we're and they're just. We're killing some time before the movie, so this works out good.
How are you? I'm going to get back around to the books, but you're associated with Edgar Rice Burroughs' organization?
Yeah, they're you know, of course, just the thumbnail here on this is that they, you know, Burroughs was one of the first publishers to publish his own work starting in 1930, and they did that to, I think, 48. I think that was their last one, was Man of Gathal or something like that. Then they published, the next book of his was 67. After he died, they found the manuscript. And then they hadn't published any books themselves until I picked up Back to the Stone Age in 2015. So it was that many years. And basically, I just approached them with a project idea, and they okayed it and have, you know, been super helpful. And but I basically just become, you know, just sort of a specialty small press publisher, but I use their imprint.
Okay.
And then on these books, I also use the Grosset and Dunlap imprint, which is because there are collectors of just that publisher.
Sure. So when did you start reading Edgar Rice Burroughs?
You know, early on, I started reading and collecting back in, not so much as a kid. I knew the Tarzan movies and things like that when I was a kid, but actually in college, my brother and I went to an auction and we got a bunch of Burroughs books and Burroughs and Zane Grey. He ended up taking the Zane Grey. I took the Burroughs. And so, you know, I started collecting and reading through them then. So that was probably when I first got reintroduced to them in book form.
So just a big Burroughs fan, or do you have other interests in literature, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I love fiction. I grew up, you know, collecting comic books. So the superhero kind of, you know, genre has always been a real love of mine, and the illustration art is another thing. I just, you know, J. Allen St. John, I think, is just one of those guys that just you know, captured all his work is wonderful, but Burroughs particularly kind of brought out the best in him, and then other illustrators, of course, in the 60s, then it was Frazetta and Krenkel and those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of people were drawn to the Burroughs by the illustrations, and that's kind of what I've been drawn to in the publishing part. It's been more of the books I'm putting out are more illustrated. They're more art books than books, so in the sense that focuses on either new or compiling, you know, all the best of the art of all the editions into one edition. That's kind of the approach I'm taking.
So when Burroughs originally, as an organization, were publishing the novels, those were, and we see those nowadays in used bookstores and collectible shops, and they're basically the, I don't know the exact dimensions of them, but they're not a large hardback, but they're a mid-sized hardback with a red cover typically.
Blue with red lettering.
Blue with red lettering. Okay.
Yep.
And those all were published originally with or without dust jackets.
All with. And that run went from 30 to 48, you know, so there was 18 years that they ran, you know, one or two books a year. So he published, you know, maybe I want to say probably 25 books or so over that span of his own first editions. They'd run in pulp magazines, and then he'd collect them in the books, and then so he sold them twice. Basically, he sold them to the pulp manufacturers, and then to the pulp publishers, and then they would compile the pulp stories into the books and hardback first editions. And then Grossen and Dunlap would pick them up as reprints, and that's who really made him famous, because I think, gosh, there have been over 100 million of those books printed. Just a huge number of those books.
Yeah.
They would actually use the same printing plates that Burroughs would use. So Burroughs would contract Kingsport Press in Tennessee to publish the books. They would, they'd set them up on these metal plates, these printing plates. Then they'd ship them to Gross and Dunlop, and they'd print them sometimes as many as 10 and 15 different printings of the Burroughs titles each. And that's the weird kind of circumstance that got me into publishing is in 2014, a collector, basically said, I was at a Burroughs kind of convention thing and said, I've got, four crates of printer plates in my basement that one of these collectors who got out of collecting left. Could you see if you could track him down and do something with these? And a guy who had gotten out of collecting had gotten these from Burroughs' family or one of the family members. Anyway, it turned out it was 400 plates of printer plates from 1937.
Wow.
And so my son and I flew to Denver, and we got them and brought them, or had them shipped back. And turned out it was the whole book of Back to the Stone Age, which is a 1937 book by Burroughs. And it was all the plates except lacking about 8 of them. It was like 300 plates. So, I said, why don't we try? I didn't know what to do with them at first. And then finally just said, let's print. Somebody said, why don't you publish the book? I said, I don't even know how you would do that. And turns out, we found a guy in New York that could still print from printer plates. And so we reprinted the book using the original printer plates. And then every one of the 300 copies got a plate in the clamshell box, if that makes sense.
I remember that promotion, yeah.
Yeah, so they got a plate and then the book printed on the plates, which is kind of cool.
Wow. What'd you do for the missing pages?
This same guy, who's a master, he's a young guy, and he's late 20s, but he had studied all, he had a 1908 Heidelberg press, and it's just cool. And so he ended up reproducing the plates for the missing books.
So he typeset them, or was it?
Yeah, he typeset them. He found an exact. He typeset them down to the exact, character that matched the first edition. So he essentially manufactured the missing plates.
Very cool.
And we didn't issue copies of those. So I didn't try to match numbers or anything. So I just put. I think I ended up with 305 plates. So I had 300. It was numbered 1 to 300. No, it was A through Z. I think they were 24 lettered, and then we did 1 through 300. So we ended up, I guess we did have a few more than that. So we printed some ones up without the plate. Yeah.
Now your print runs are small. What's the average right. print run on one of your books?
Just going up. We started 300, 400 was the last one. 500 will be the next one.
Okay.
So we're slowly building some momentum. John Carter's at 400. So we're doing 348 numbered and then 52 lettered.
Wow.
But the next one is the big one, which will be A Princess of Mars. And I just got approval on that.
Wow.
And that'll be the one I think, I agreed to not going over 500 on it. So it was the other way around. It was just, keeping it the other way. And we're still, that's real early. Literally that was just determined a few days ago. So,
are you keeping that close to the vest, or is that okay to write about?
Yeah, if you don't, I don't know when you'll put any of this out. It'll be fine in about a month.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think what's going to happen is, I know what's going to happen. I put it in the book, so it's in the John Carter book under the, editions we've done. So I put the first four we've finished, and I just said coming 2019 Princess of Mars, but I'm not. So we just caught it right before it went to press, and so we could add that to the listings page.
Very
so
nice.
It'd be kind of cool. Some people will see that for the first time.
Is that going to be priced about where you've had the other ones?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the price point the same, and I've kept it the same one for Actually, the first one was more because it had the plate in it, but we tried to keep them at $199 a set, and that got you a Burroughs and then a G&D, which is the red one. The G&Ds were the red ones with the blue printing, right, on the titling, and the Burroughs were just the opposite, blue with red. And I'm sorry, what am I saying? G&D is red with black
right,
lettering.
Yeah, I think those are the ones I've seen more often.
Yeah, and they were, they came out at 75 cents. They were in print runs of hundreds of thousands. I mean, they were the popular, they put Burroughs on the map because,
well, apparently
you couldn't afford the
first. Apparently there was a warehouse in Los Angeles that had a lot of them in storage, and they had a problem during the rains or something. And so there were just tons of slightly water-damaged Burroughs books. And you'd run into these, just tons of them at book fairs and stuff in L.A.,
Right.
Bookstores and stuff. It just seemed like that was where they'd all gone to hibernate. Yeah.
Yeah. What happened is there was a warehouse fire in 1958, and that's probably where they of course put it out with water. But yeah, and they even put stickers in them and tried to sell them for collectibles. And you'll see those occasionally. It'll say, "This is one of the few survivors of the 1958 war." Yeah, and
that's
so Burroughs. Yeah, and I was out there two years ago and I saw a couple boxes of the Land of Gethal still sitting there, just like they were. There's still some surviving books.
So let's talk a little bit about the production of the books. So one of my sites, Book Judgment, is all about binding and typesetting and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you're essentially making new collectibles to fit on the shelf with the old ones, right? Is that like your mission statement then?
Yeah, I'm just trying to create a definitive edition, an illustrated definitive edition, kind of in a one stop for everything, in terms of illustrations and typeset. And, as a collector, I'm just trying to put everything I ever wanted to have in a book in a book.
Yeah.
So, like with the last set, we put out a coin that was, new art. And then these have new dust jackets. And we'll put in new black and white art and then collect the other art from other editions that sometimes people have never seen. So yeah, it's from a bibliographic kind of, the points on them are, I enjoy that. I really do found myself really enjoying that part, is putting details into the books that maybe weren't done the first time around.
Right.
Mainly color illustrations. None of these books, Grosset's or Irby Inc., had ever had color illustrations. In fact, I don't know that there ever were any color illustrations. There was one book that had one color in it, but until this book was printed, I don't know there ever was any Burroughs with interior color art. There's always dust jackets and there's paperback covers, but never interior art that's color.
Yeah. Do you know what's your paperweight and what the font style is?
Yeah, we use a 80-pound Finch. The first one was a Mohawk via vellum, which is a really nice paper. And that was because it was letterpress printed, so we had to go that way for Back to Stone Age. And that was, a big part of the cost of the book was that. And then we do copper plates for both the stamping, so they're debossed, and they're done by separate artists who design titling, and which is, a similar kind of, feel of that 30s, 40s vintage kind of book. The font, we've used just a Garamond, which is pretty standard, and we've used Procathlon, which again, those are serif fonts that have that feel that we're trying to go for.
Yeah, and the bindings are it's a stitch binding with.
Yeah, it's Smythone. Smythone bindings, and there is a binder down in San Antonio that does these. So we print them in Nashville, and then they get shipped to be bound in San Antonio, then they come back up to Maine. And it's the binder does some amazing things. We found a cloth that matches that 30s ERB ink cloth. So it's an indigo blue. It's a real unique blue. So we found that. And believe it or not, in this press, the bindery, they had stamping plates for texturing the cloth that matched what they did back in the 30s. And these are plates from the 30s. So what they do is they glue the cloth to the board and then they stamp it to texture it with the same feel of those 30s books back in the day.
So the grain of the texture then? Cool.
Yeah, there's a pebbled grain that is I've never seen it. And tried to replicate it with the cloth and couldn't find anybody that had a way to do that. And then this guy said, "Well, we've got some plates we used to use back in the day." So that's what they did. They just said, "Well, we'll bind them, we'll stamp the cloth, and then of course then they use these copper titling plates to deboss the title into the cloth as well."
That's terrific. Now they're beautiful books, and obviously a work of much love on your part for what you're doing, and I'm sure that everyone who gets a hold of these is just really happy to add it to their collection.
We've had a whole bunch of fun putting them together. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's terrific. Thanks for talking to me about this. This recording's turned out so good. I may actually do an episode of. I've been considering doing some podcast episodes for Book Judgment, but I also have I'm the producer of another podcast called Fanboy Planet, which is part of a website, Fanboy Planet, and I'll talk to the editor. Maybe we'll add this to a if that's okay with you.
Oh yeah, absolutely, that'd be fun.
We often make calls and interview people, and this would be I think it's terribly interesting. We'll have to see if the editor thinks it's interesting.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with it, and it really is something that I hope that we can. I don't know how many we'll end up doing, but there is a base that's kind of growing, so that's a good sign, at least base of.
Yeah, there seems to be a resurgence in Burroughs, the Disney movie notwithstanding. But there's a lot of reprints and new comics, and I was just reading Once in Future Tarzan the other evening, which is reprints from Dark Horse comics.
I was gonna say one other thing. And I'll send you a link. We're working on Mike, you mentioned the movie, and Michael Sellers, I don't know if you know that name, but he wrote a book on, I think, called The Gods of Hollywood, but basically how they botched the whole John Carter thing. But really neat guy, but he's working on a book trailer for the last one I did, John Carter.
Okay.
And so when I get that done, or we get that done, I'll send you a link to that as well.
Great. John Carter, that's the one that was actually two different pulp stories and made into the last book. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Skeleton of Jupiter?
Jupiter.
Mm-hmm. And John
and
Carter.
The first one is... Yeah. Yeah, John Carter and the Giants of Mars. That's the first one. And that has been now understood since it was kind of determined in the 90s for sure that it wasn't by Burroughs. So I think I'll be the first book that comes out, crediting that to his son, John Coleman Burroughs.
Oh.
So we actually have it in the book as John Coleman. And then we're publishing a article by a guy named Bob Barrett who did the research and as an appendix. But it'll be his article that talks about how he knows for certain that it was John Coleman. And it's really interesting to have those. So we have Dick Lupoff doing the intro, because he did the 64 Canaveral edition of that book.
Ah.
He wrote the intro for that. Yeah, so he wrote an update to that, about a four-page kind of refresh. And then Kevin J. Anderson, I don't know if you know who that is, a science fiction writer,
yeah,
doing the foreword for it. Yeah,
I do know. Kevin J. is the one who... Is he the one who was writing the Dune books?
Well, I know he's New York Times bestseller, so I don't know what... I can't remember what his big book was, but I know he's done well there. I'm not sure if I know the other one. He's the only one I know there. He's just a big Bills guy.
Kevin J. Anderson wrote the extensions to the Dune books with Herbert's son.
I see. Okay, yeah.
And Brian Herbert.
Yeah. Well, he wrote a really neat kind of a reminiscence of three or four, but they're going to be signers, so they'll sign it. Dick will sign it, and then Bob Eggleton did a jacket, and then a guy named Doug Klauba, I don't know if you know, he's out of Chicago, but he did a fantastic jacket for John Carter. So it's a skeleton and battle scene that's pretty amazing. So hopefully all that'll be in the trailer. But
cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking to me tonight. I appreciate that.
Definitely.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the latest book and supporting.
Yeah, they're on their. I guess those two are on their way to you, right? The Savage Police Over. Yeah. They shipped. Have you gotten them yet? Or are they?
No. I think I got an email notice of them being in the system.
Yeah, it should be just a couple of days, so they were priority. So you should get them maybe even tomorrow.
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay. Sure thing.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you're enjoying Book Judgment. It's a labor of love, and we hope you love it too. Use the comments on the websites to let us know what you think. And if you love books, if you're one of those people who love the touch and smell of books, and you'd like to write for Book Judgment, please get in touch. For now, have a great day.